Let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
Our readings from the Holy Gospel according to the evangelist St. Luke.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
At that time, the parents of the child Jesus brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. At that time, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. Begin our journey to Lent. The 5 Sundays before the beginning of Lent, the first of March, I believe, are dedicated to a set cycle every year. And so today, we start with Zacchaeus Sunday as our pilgrimage to Lent starts. We learn today that, like Zacchaeus, we must seek God. We must seek him with effort. to find salvation. But what is it that we're seeking? Today, we'll look at this familiar passage and ask ourselves several questions. First of all, what was Zacchaeus' state when he began to seek the Lord? Secondly, why did he seek Jesus? And lastly, what did he hope to receive? Today, we have to understand that what separates us from God is simply this: sin. Sin separates us from God. And when we're separated from God, hope begins to flee away. And darkness begins to close onto us. We sometimes feel helpless to extract ourselves. This is what being lost is. Being separated from God. We're seeking effects. We seek effects that are good in our life. Not bad. Not things that bring us down, but things that are good. And so Zacchaeus embarked on a way to find his way out of the darkness, out of his lostness. I think there's two ways that we can kind of look at lostness, being lost. What is it to be lost? It's a spiritual word. We need to understand what being lost is if we're going to understand what being saved is. And so I think there's two ways that I wanted to describe our lostness. And perhaps we know in ourselves this kind of lostness. Or we know it in other people. And so maybe we can better recognize it if we think for a little bit about what it is to be lost. I think, first of all, there's a way that lostness manifests itself. You could think about it as being lost on a dark night in a scary place, like in the woods or in the Bronx, somewhere where you don't know your way. And the things around you seem to be dangerous, all of them. And you seem to have no way to find your way out. This is the lostness of the discomfort of the man that's a physical man. Yes, he has mental applications about his life that scare him also, but his physical state is one which demands immediate relief. This lostness, this type of lostness presents itself as kind of overwhelming fear, anxiety. We're afraid of everything around us. We don't know what anything holds that's around us. There's nothing sure, nothing safe. And this is a lostness which plagues many. It demands immediate resolution. For we feel like immediately we are going to perish unless we find relief. This is one way that I think we find ourselves lost at times. It's a way of seeing the world that has no hope. Everything's dangerous. Everything's fearful. But there's also another type of lostness which is equally bad. Although it doesn't seem as immediately foreboding. This is the lostness of the person that's satiated with the things of this world and still has no satisfaction. This is the one who's physically comfortable, but empty, directionless, no purpose in life. Meaninglessness plagues our thoughts as we look at the day in front of us and the weeks and the years and the decades of a life that has no meaning. This lostness is quite different than the other type of lostness. And sometimes in individuals, they vacillate back and forth between these two poles, if you will, of lostness. But in both cases, and in all cases of lostness, what's common is direction is lacking. The one that needs the way out of their physical peril needs direction, and they don't have it. The one that finds no meaning in life needs to find a direction, a purpose, to add something to their life which makes life worth living. And so it was in a state of lostness that this Zacchaeus, this man, set off on a journey. It says that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, he came upon a man named Zacchaeus who was there. This man, Zacchaeus, is presented to us very negatively. First of all, it says he was the chief among the publicans. Being a publican was bad enough. The publican was the one that had to extract the money for Caesar or for the king from people, and he did it by doing whatever it took to get the money. There was no moral scruples attached to gathering taxes. I wonder about that today sometime. And so it was that he had collected for years as chief of the publicans.
money from everybody that he could get a hold of. I don't think anybody liked to see Zacchaeus come down the road. He wasn't popular, but he was very rich. And so he had all the comforts that money could provide. I'm sure he had servants, a big house, an impressive place to live, a fancy address. And he had a position in society which demanded a certain amount of respect whether you liked them or not. What's notable about this man is that he was what we can consider, humanly speaking, the worst of the worst. This was a man who basically stole from the poor to give to the rich. He was the opposite of Robin Hood. He was as bad as you can get. And I think that in this, God shows us something. That God is looking to seek and to save those which are lost, no matter what their state might be, humanly speaking. No matter what our human eyes might see, God sees a soul that's worth redeeming, and a soul that can be redeemed. He wants to save everyone. No one is outside of God's love and God's reach, as far as God's perspective is concerned. And so it was that Zacchaeus, this chief of the publicans, no less, who was very rich, had taken from the poor, was there in the place where Jesus arrived. And it says that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. This was what his goal was, simply to find out a little bit about who Jesus was. He didn't really know who Jesus was, but he'd heard things about Jesus. And what he'd heard made him energized. I think we see in this passage a man who's got a certain urgency, a certain amount of energy in his quest. And what this shows us is that to find God, we need to have a little bit of energy. We need to have a reason to find him. And our lostness is a reason to find him. When we find ourselves without hope, without direction, that's a reason to start seeking. And so it was that Zacchaeus was eager to go out and find some way out of his position in life. He wanted to see Jesus, who he really was, not just what he'd heard about. He didn't trust other people's words. He wanted to see for himself. And so it is with us, that we need to not take other people's word for Jesus. We need to go find him ourselves. Our relationship with him can't be something that we read about just in books, but we have to have a personal relationship with him. We know him. We can sense his presence, his love. And so Zacchaeus went to see who Jesus really was. He had hope that something good would be out there when he met Jesus. And it says that he went and he ran, and then he climbed into a sycamore tree, pretty good sized tree for that era. And he climbed up, forgetting the fruit and the figs and all these things, and went up on a limb, out on a limb a little bit. Using his energy, he exerted himself to see Jesus, because he'd heard Jesus was going to pass that way. And it came to pass that Jesus did pass that way. And Jesus, when he came, it says he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus sitting there. Jesus wasn't surprised to see Zacchaeus sitting there on a limb in a tree in that place at that time. Jesus knows where you're going to be tomorrow. Jesus knows what you're up against today. Jesus knows what happened to you yesterday. And so it was with Zacchaeus, that when Zacchaeus came to that place, Jesus knew the energy that he had to see Jesus. And Jesus knew all about Zacchaeus, that he was rich, that he was a publican, that he wasn't the best of people in the past. But he also knew that Zacchaeus had hope that in Christ he'd find something. And so Jesus said to him these simple words. He said, make haste. It's important. Quickly obey this time, this feeling, this place. Make it happen, Zacchaeus. Come down. And he says, I must abide at thy house today. Today is the day of salvation for you, Zacchaeus. Today you need to quickly come down. You need to respond to my call. You need to come. And he says, I must abide at thy house. Jesus had a planned encounter. There's two kind of meanings behind this word must here. Jesus had a planned encounter with this man to reach into his soul and save him. And so Jesus must come there, and Zacchaeus must be there to meet him. But also, there's a must that Jesus wanted to abide in his house. Jesus needs to be under your roof too. He needs to be in your soul. He needs to have control of your body. He needs to take over. He must abide within us too, in our house. And so Jesus must come. If salvation is to come, Jesus must come. It can't come any other way. Our direction must come ultimately from him. And we watch and see what Zacchaeus did. It says he made haste to come down and received him joyfully. Imagine this. You're wanting to find a little bit about something. And that somebody comes by. And that somebody instead of just acknowledging you and looking at you and saying, have a nice day, says, I must come to your house today. He came down with haste. His energy was redoubled. His hope was increased. His progress was hastened. Because now he had a reason to be encouraged. Jesus had met him and Jesus encouraged him. And Jesus said, hurry up, let's go. I'm going to abide at your house today. He received them joyfully. This is the great joy of a soul that has eyes illumined to see who God really is. It's not just hearsay anymore. This man, Jesus, he's a prophet. He's done many miracles. It's personal now. He's giving joy to Zacchaeus directly. He's speaking to Zacchaeus. He's inviting Zacchaeus to sup with him, to dine with him. And Zacchaeus is a motivated man. He receives God joyfully. It's interesting to see the reaction of those around. Imagine you seeing the worst person in town come to Christ, and Christ welcomes you. You'd have some thoughts, perhaps. Thoughts of envy, perhaps. Anger. Incredulity. That Jesus was inviting a man who was a sinner to be a guest with him in his house. I think what God's shown us here is that everybody around knew something about Zacchaeus. That he was, past tense, a sinner. Everybody knew. And God wants you to know that Zacchaeus was a sinner. Let there be no doubts that he was a good public. This man was a sinner. A dreadful sinner. A sinner who had sinned against God. Not just his brother man. He was a wicked man. And everyone in town knew that he was. And so, with amazement, they looked at this good man, Jesus. This prophet, perhaps. Even some knew him as Lord. Coming to be with a man who was a sinner. God's doubling down here to let us know how bad Zacchaeus was. How lost he was. How without direction he was. How much he needed a Savior. And so it was that they came to that encounter, that meal. And Zacchaeus, it says, stood up. As if to make it clear to everyone there in the presence of the Lord that he had repented. He wasn't going to be a changed man. Encounters with Jesus change us. And he saw Jesus and he said, Lord, from now on, and I'm starting right now, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything by anybody unjustly, I restore it fourfold. Two things here. Number one, the law said double, basically, when you go back to, I think it's Numbers chapter 22. When you stole something, you had to give back double. Unless it was a sheep. I think a sheep was fourfold. But most everything was double. He was going to restore fourfold. He's going to exceed the law to make right, to restore. Restitution is important in repentance. But also, something else is important. The donations to the poor, given out of money you stole from somebody, or that you got unjustly, are illegitimate in God's eyes. Giving alms is great, but not on a stump that you didn't earn. And so he has to clean the slate by giving to who he took from, and then he can go and give to the poor and be an alms giver with a great heart. This exclamation of Zacchaeus, it shows a changed heart. It shows that he wanted to be pure in God's sight. And that he wasn't really too worried about what man thought. Going forward, he was going to do what was right in God's sight. Jesus said to him simply this. He didn't give him a long speech. He just said this. It's recorded for our admonition. This day, today, he said, I must meet you. And he said, this day, the completion of the cycle has happened. This day salvation has come to this house, to Zacchaeus, this house under which now I abide. In the heart and the soul of this man, Zacchaeus, salvation has come. You know, salvation is a word we throw around a lot. But salvation is the most precious thing in the universe. The salvation of the human soul is more precious than everything. God said, what should a man give in exchange for his soul? There is nothing temporal that can equal the value of a soul. And to save a soul for eternity is the greatest act that can occur. And Jesus simply says this. He says to this man, today, I've saved you. Your repentance has saved you. Your encounter with me, which must happen, has saved you. And he says the reason it saved you is because now you're like Abraham. Abraham is called the friend of God. He's also called a man who was faithful in all his house. Before all his servants, before all those people that saw him, he was a faithful man. He believed God, it says, in both Genesis and the book of Romans, and the Apostle Paul repeats it, that he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. He was a man of faith. He was a man who hoped in God. But you know something else about Abraham? It's really great. Abraham's a type of you and me coming to Jesus. Abraham was called to go out with Terah and with Lot and to leave the place of the world, the Babylonian realm, and to journey to an unknown place, a kingdom not of this world. And he got up and he left. He left the house of his father and he went and left behind the devil and the ways of this world to follow God. And he journeyed to a new divine land. This is a picture that our minds can get a hold of when we think of Abraham journeying. This is the spiritual journey of Zacchaeus too. It's a spiritual journey of everyone who wants salvation, who wants relief from their lost estate. Make no mistake, the reason Jesus came is clearly expressed here, and it is his reason. He came to seek, to find, to look for, and to save them. Those that were lost. He came to change our state. He came to change our state from darkness, from no hope, surrounded by things that imperil us, from anxiety, from fear, and to place us in a place of rest, of hope. He extracts us from one life and one kingdom, and he delivers us into something quite different. It's the opposite from everything that's bad. It's everything that's good. And so, in finding God, Zacchaeus made that journey, that spiritual journey, like Abraham did in the flesh. What we're seeking for, brothers and sisters in life, is relief from lostness. Jesus gives you more than you expect to find when you go after him. I don't know what Zacchaeus' expectations were that day when he climbed up into that tree. He had a certain amount of energy, but he had more energy when Jesus spoke to him. And he had even more energy after that to go out and do what was very difficult, to give away all these great possessions that he'd gotten and to do right. His repentance was real, but it was energized by God's encounter with him that day. Whatever we're seeking in life is not as important as salvation, I assure you. And 1 second after your eyelids closed, you'll say amen to that statement. There's nothing more important than salvation. Might we, like Zacchaeus, who set our example, go forth now on our journey towards Lent and start to evaluate our life and start to ask, where's that darkness, God, that I need to get out of? What's the direction I need? Might we have the energy, like Zacchaeus, to go forth in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and seek him who will richly provide above all that we see, all that we think, or all that we ask. Amen. Yeah.